Hey ladies, welcome to our No Bad Days Simple Wellness for Women show. I'm Jolene Fisher, your host, and every episode of the No Bad Day show will give you a view into the life of another woman. She'll share her stories, her triumphs, her struggles, and the lessons she's learned along her path. My goal as your host is to bring you topics that are relevant and women who are doing hard things and really getting out there in the world and showing us a different way to live, right? So I want you guys to be inspired to be the heroes of your own stories. And that's why I bring you people like Jill. And so Jill Osser, thank you for being here tonight.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So you guys, just so you know a background on Jill, she has got quite the bio. And so it's pretty fun. I didn't know a lot of this about you, but so you guys.
I didn't even have to take that whole bio up either.
I'll try and like move around it a little bit, I guess. But I know Jill because our sons play football together at WSU. And we met through the WSU football parents group. And Jill ran that whole thing. And it was my first year when she was running it and her last year, little did we know. And so we got to become friends and then hooked up later. And then she came up with 10 or all sellers this year in 2020. And I thought, I love wine. I want to buy some of that.
You had me at wine.
Yeah, exactly. Well, just so you know, Jill was the person that would always bring the wine to the tailgates. And so, yeah, I was like, I'm down for that. So I didn't know this about you, that you are a collegiate softball player for the University of California at Berkeley, and that you now really take that collegiate background and the competition with sports and really put that into your careers as a prosperous entrepreneur. So that you've done over 10 startup launches, and I love this, you got the 2012 Bronze Stevie Award as a Female Executive of the Year in consumer products for up to 2,500 employees. That's a wow. And that you were honored in the East Bay Business Times 40 Under 40 a few years back.
Yes.
And San Jose Business Journal Top Women in Business, and a lot more accolades along with that. And you spent your early career in political fundraising for state and national campaigns and brought that aggressive style of fundraising to the nonprofit sector, which you still work in the nonprofit sector today with Helinski Hope. So we'll talk a little bit about that later on. We'd love to kind of go into what you do there. And that you've worked for the Special Olympics in Northern California and Nevada for over 14 years and helped raise over $150 million through the strategic cause marketing, corporate partnerships, and individual donations. And I know we're gonna get to know you a lot more, so I'll stop there as we do this fun interview tonight. And so this is completely interview style, you guys. If you have questions, please let us know. But Jill, again, welcome. And why don't you just start with telling us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, maybe more about what makes you tick. Just tell us about your story.
Sure. I was born in New Jersey, and so I'm a Jersey girl. But from the time I was seven, we moved out to Southern California. And I am an identical twin, and that is a big part of my story because I had a built-in playmate from the time I was born. And we, both of us, are very competitive. She played collegiate sports as well. She was a basketball player at Cal. Then she decided to take up cycling and became the NCAA track cycling championship. So we've always been very competitive with each other. And you know, part of our story was being female athletes and having everyone say no. And so, I'll never forget our story of we moved to California. My dad takes us to sign up for, first we found out about Bobby Socks, but you couldn't slide. And it was like, well, we don't want to do that. So we go and my dad takes us to sign up for Little League Baseball. And the guys behind the desk say the Bobby Socks sign-ups are down the street. And my dad said, nope, they want to sign up. And they're like, well, you know, we do tryouts and we draft the players. And the really, you know, ironic thing of that story was the same guy that was saying that ended up drafting me on his team. We both made All-Stars. And then you work to get to, the Little League World Series in, in Pennsylvania somewhere, right? The famous Little League World Series. So we had to go through Riverside in California. And they put all the teams in bunks, and they literally had Jennifer and I in our own bunks. And then it comes game time, and they do a cup check, and we had to wear cups. So I mean, they just didn't know what to do with us. And so, but, you know, I mean, it's really interesting as you think about when women are allowed to express their abilities and, you know, and all their superpowers. That same coach spoke at my bat mitzvah when I was 13, and he talked about that experience because it opened his eyes. You know, in his worldview, we weren't able, and there's no way that we were going to make it. And not only did we make it, but we excelled and we made the Little League All-Star team. And then I went on to play collegiate softball at Berkeley as a starting catcher my freshman year. And Jennifer was, you know, collegiate basketball player and Southern California player of the year. So, I think for us, the great thing is my parents never said no. They just said, what do you guys want to do? When we moved to California, we had another great parent that basically said to my dad, look, you clearly have girls that are athletic. Here's where you need to take them. And my dad never said no. He just took us to sign up for all those places and allowed us the opportunities for that. And I think that, you know, as a parent, I've sort of brought that into my own parenting style, which was not to necessarily push my kids into something, but to say, what do you want to do? And, you know, as long as you're going to give it your all and be the best that you can be, that's always been my lesson to them. If you can look at yourself in the mirror and know that you gave it all that you had, then I will never be disappointed, and you will never be. Well, you might be disappointed, but you can certainly live with that, knowing if you got beat by someone because, you know, they're better than you, but you gave it your all. So, we grew up in Orange County, and then I came up to Northern California in 1985, aging myself there. If people want to figure that out, to go to Cal. And my freshman year, we made the World Series in softball. But I did have a life-changing event my end of my freshman year. I was skiing, which I was not supposed to be skiing, and someone took me out on the ski slope, and I broke my neck between C1 and 2. And so, I had surgery. They fused my neck together, and I did come back the next year, but my coach was sick and dying as well. And so for me, I'm a Pisces. I feel a lot, although people make assumptions about me because I'm so strong that they don't realize that, you know, I cry at commercials and all of that. But I just started to look, you know, inward at that time to say, well, there was no professional softball. So what was I doing? Because when I did come back, I was playing first base in a game and got taken out on the inside of the first baseline and smashed my head on the ground. And I will never forget hearing my mother do the, you know, and I hit my head so hard. And it just kind of, you know, it just made me question, what was my path? Clearly, I've been given a second chance because, you know, if one thing happened one way or the other, I would potentially not be here. So I then just took the advice of a college professor he said, you know, it's not what you know, but it's who you know in life. And he suggested that I do an internship with a politician that was not on my side of the aisle. And he really pushed me. Again, he said, I don't care, go do it. Well, it turns out that internship, because I was proactive and went to the chief of staff and said, look, here's what I really want to do. You know, can you make a connection to, to Dianne Feinstein at the time, who had just left the mayor's office in San Francisco. And he did to her chief of staff. And my whole career, I can almost connect every dot to that. And so it goes back to what my professor said, which was, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And when you get those opportunities, you make the most of it. But you certainly have to stand up for yourself. And I did. And it turned out that from being involved with politics was how then I got recruited for Special Olympics, because it was someone I worked with on Dianne Feinstein's gubernatorial campaign that was working with a recruiter who was looking for someone to start up Special Olympics. And what I did learn about myself in college, though, Jolene, is I'm not driven by money. I love money, don't get me wrong, and I love good things, and I love great wine, and I love to travel. But I need to be passionate about what I do, and that has to come first. And so I learned that because I couldn't figure out why I didn't want these high-paying jobs out of college in the tech world. And it's because I didn't want to sell a piece of equipment. So I started to learn that about myself. But then what I didn't really know at the time when I went to work for Special Olympics was I'm wired as an entrepreneur. So you just need to tell me where I need to get and by when, and then get out of my way and let me do it however I'm going to do it. And that was, I found that very frustrating in some of the organizations I worked for, especially Special Olympics, because they were used to doing the same thing every day. If it looked different, that made a lot of people uncomfortable. And so, I created a $30 million deal with AT&T, it was Singular Wireless at the time. And we really struggled as an organization, like, how do we get this done? And it was so, by the time we signed the contract, I was exhausted. These guys wanted to incorporate Special Olympics in every one of their ad campaigns. They wanted our athletes in the store. They wanted to bring their employees to our events. You couldn't ask for a better partnership. And yet we kept redlining our own red lines on the contract. So it started to then make me question, okay, I know I love charity, but I probably could do more for charity outside of charity than within charity. And that sort of led me down a different path of trying, different things, from running a tech company. But of course I ran out when the economy crashed. But that taught me one of the biggest lessons I've had in business. And that is, who are you in business with? Because you're going to run into tough times. And so, are you in business with people that are going to be in the trenches with you and have the faith that you're going to find a way? And I think maybe that's the athlete training in me, Jolene, because I've never been a fan of venture capital, because venture capital says we're going to bet on 10 companies. We're going to, infuse all of our leadership into your team. And then if you don't hit one benchmark, we're going to put our own folks in there. And as an athlete, the game's not over till the game is over. And great athletes learn to pivot and you make adjustments and you figure out what the defense is doing, or you figure out how the pitcher keeps throwing, her rise ball on the first pitch. So maybe you should lay off that. And so I just feel like great teams and great leaders know how to make those pivots. And so I've always felt like it's really important to, align yourself with great people, great investors, great team members. And I really, I try to build teams in what I'm doing, because I feel like as a female leader, first of all, I don't know how to separate my day job from my evenings. I love what I do and I do what I love, and it all kind of blends together. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I know we were all taught to think something different, where you're supposed to work 9 to 5, park it and leave it. I can't do that as a woman. I everything I do is heart and mind aligned. So that goes with me 24/7. So, yeah.
That too. And I love what you said in the beginning about the baseball coach taking a risk on you girls and how that taught him something. But then later in life, you were able to take a risk on doing something in a campaign that you didn't really necessarily believe in or that cause, but that opened up every opportunity for you, for your future. So when we do step out and take risks, we're going to learn something from it, and the world can open up to us. And so we step out and do hard things, and also be willing to know, from what I'm hearing from your story, just that know when it's time to fold them, right? Like, know when it's time to walk away and do something different that really speaks to your heart. And that's okay. It's okay to pivot. I always say we're never too young to make another life shift.
Well, and sometimes a pivot doesn't mean leaving the business. Sometimes a pivot means, look what's happening in the world around you, and maybe your original business plan needs to have a little pivot in it. And I think, I think if you talk to most successful business leaders, there's been many pivots within the same, original business that they were, creating. And I think you have to be able, as an entrepreneur, you have to be flexible to always be paying attention to what's going on in the world around you and the environment, so that you can actually make that pivot. I mean, you always need to be thinking about, who is your future customer and what do they want? And that may be different than your current customers, but you have to already start planning for that. A good friend of mine, Charlene Lee, she wrote Groundswell, and her newest book is The Disruptive Mindset. And you need to be thinking about who, your future customers are. And you always need to be thinking about, you know, how to create disruption. And she talks more about disruption than innovation. Innovation's easy. Anybody can say we want to innovate. It's almost, you know, disruption is really difficult. You have to plan for it. You have to really think about it. And you have to be committed to doing the things to maybe look at an entire industry differently. And often, you know, it's funny, again, back to my VC comment, but VCs are always saying, well, you know, where's your IP and, you know, where's your intellectual property and where's your new technology? It's rarely a new technology that is what is the disruptor or the, you know, the innovation. It's usually taking an existing piece of technology and using it in a different way to disrupt an entire industry. And so, but that's a total shift in your mindset. And so, you know, I feel, you know, like for me as a female leader, that so much of my life, I've you hear about ways to lead, and so often that was incongruent with who I was and how I felt a good leader was. And so, you know, I think that what is so important for us as women is to actually really listen to ourselves and to actually question, even if someone else is very successful, it doesn't mean it's right for you. It's like now we're learning that companies that have more diversity and inclusion, they actually tend to be more profitable. But that would probably fly in the face of the way most business has been run in the last 100 years. So, but you have to be willing to be open to that and to understand why. And so I think as entrepreneurs, as women, we really need to most importantly, is listen to our own intuition and our gut. And you almost know. I was telling somebody the other day, you know how we all put those little train tracks together for our kids and they click, right? It's like, it's almost like your heart and mind go click, and then all of a sudden we're aligned and you know it. I mean, you actually really know it. And I think that is incredibly important for women.
Right, and at this stage in your life, you've taken wine, which is something that's been around for years and years, hundreds of years, and it's not something that you've had to, like, wine is really good, wine is different from just average Joe wine. But what I'm saying is, be like, back to what you're saying about technology, you don't have to change the technology, you just have to think of something completely different around that. And you've done that with Tenerol Cellars and what you stand for. It goes in the face of what anyone else is doing in the wine industry right now. And so I'd love for you to tell us a little bit more about.
No, I'd love to. I mean, yeah, it's so, I mean, a couple things happened for me. You know, I've been in the wine industry for a while and I love wine. And again, I would have said to anyone, I love what I do and I do what I love. But what I started to find was I was doing a lot of talking. I wasn't doing a lot of walking. And so I started to feel like I was being tamed in a way in an industry that is very male dominated. And I have no issue with men. And I mean, clearly I'm a strong woman. That's not the issue. But I often find that I was leaving the best part of myself at the door. And so I started just to think like, what is that about? Then COVID hit. And I think a lot of times when crises happen, because the wine industry got shut down, we had to be very innovative on how we were doing things. And we moved a lot of things online to virtual tastings, started seeing those sales go up. But then for me, it was also, the death of George Floyd. And all of a sudden we're having a ton of tension in our country. And I started to look internally, and I started to look at my own industry and said, wow, you know, there's not a lot of diversity in my industry. And I know for us as a company, we already had, you know, we had a diverse investor base, diverse employee base, diverse customer base. But I also know that my other group wasn't necessarily comfortable using their voice in that. And I know I'm meant to use my voice. And we could talk a little bit more about that, even at WSU, with a lot of social justice issues that came up that, you know, I always feel like it's necessary for me to stand up and speak up and, and speak out. So I just started to say, what am I doing as a female leader in the wine industry to be part of the solution? So the more I took a deep dive, the more I started seeing things that were very disturbing to me. Like there's 10%, well, 14% female winemakers in California, but only 10% across the country. Both of those numbers are horrible. Then there's 0.1% black winemakers, men and women. So you take those and that's absolutely horrible. Then you start looking at outside of tasting room associates. When you look into leadership positions in the wine industry, they lack women in leadership positions and women of color, or actually people of color. So you know, unless they were inherited businesses, second or third generation with women, or a lot of sometimes women and their spouses will go in and buy a tasting room. But when you looked at actual businesses that were looking at more, you know, building a big business in the wine industry. So then I realized that the biggest consumer of wine are women. 67% of all wine purchase is purchased by women. It actually gets bigger when you look at super premium and above, which is, you know, higher end wine. But I think the skew is that when people are buying wine in auctions, I think the men actually buy those big ticket lots on that. So I'm like, but the industry doesn't speak to its largest consumer. So I know from my days at Special Olympics and being on the forefront of cause related marketing, I know that 78% of consumers believe that companies should do more than just make a profit. I also know that companies on Wall Street that actually have a kind of a double bottom line outperform those that don't. And I also know that consumers believe that companies should be tackling these key issues in our country, not just the government. So when I brought all that expertise in, I also looked at how wine sales were just booming online. And I know from being in the wine industry that it's really expensive to have a tasting room, to have a winery, to have all these things. But since I already have access to that, I realized that I could create an all-digital platform so that there's no there, which means we can tap into female viticulturists and farmers all over the world and bring the best grapes to California, where we produce them at a winery that I'm already an owner in, but have a female winemaker make it, and that we can have this all digital platform to a community of like-minded women who sip, create, and act with purpose. And then what I mentioned before, where I could do more good for charity outside of charity than within, that we donate 10% of all profits to charities that care about women's issues, including climate justice and social change. So before the election or up to the election, we actually donated $10 from every 3-pack sold. So that 3-pack behind you, we donated, if you purchased in California, we donated $10 from every purchase to California Women Lead, and then anywhere else in the country to She Should Run. The good thing about both of those organizations is they're bipartisan. They're nonprofits. What they care about is helping women and supporting women to run for local, state, national offices, but also to get seats on boards, because we need, as women, to make sure that we have a seat at the table, because when there are policies and laws that are written and for us, we should have a seat at the table. It's a very famous picture when, you know, in Washington, when there's a room full of only men and they're talking about birth control and all the things that affect women, and there's not a single woman at the table. So I realized that we could use exceptional wine as the connector for women to have really important conversations, and that we're going to curate amazing experiences for each one of our quarterly releases, with introducing new female artists for concerts, celebrity chefs to do food pairings and cooking classes, different female sommeliers to do to talk to us about the wine and to really educate us about the wine. Wine is not meant to be intimidating. Napa has made it intimidating. It's not meant to be. I mean, think about us when we all sit around with our sisters, right? We're just talking, but it'd be nice to know what things, you know, how to taste wine. And quite frankly, most of it's just about an experience that you've had. You know, most thing, whatever you smell is right, is my answer to you, Jolene. So cheers to that. Yeah. I need some more. You're almost done there.
Yeah, I do. But I want to make sure I can still function here. So I'm a lightweight, but I'm drinking the Grenache.
Grenache Rosé, yes, which is a very dry style, Provence style rosé. So you get some nice crisp, some watermelon in there, but almost like you're biting on the white part of the watermelon, maybe with a little salt on there. And just that's the style of that. And what we want to do, we want to elevate people's wine experience. We don't want to dumb it down. What we will not do is we will not alter the wine. We're not going to add sugar. We're not going to add concentrate. And a lot of companies do that. So we're gonna have these quarterly launches that are all around women's themes. So our February launch is all about RBG. We're doing three different releases. We have different artists that are drawing the labels right now. So we'll have a Notorious, we'll have a I Descent, and a Supreme. We've got a Sauvignon Blanc, a Cab Blend, and a Zinfandel that we're releasing. And then we've got an amazing artist, Carsey Blanton, that's going to be performing for us in a virtual concert. And then we're going to select a great social justice charity to support. And but we're doing so much good in connecting women. And it's, you know, it's just about empowered women empowering women. I mean, we honestly, Jolene, I know you know this because this is what you talk about all the time. But, you know, if women just unconditionally supported women, we would rule the world tomorrow and the world would be a better place. You know, I was interviewing Mona Pasquille. She was the first female lieutenant governor in the state of California. She said, you know, the difference between men and women in politics, it's a tough world and it's a brutal business. But she says, but when women have to make cuts, at least everyone has food on the table. And it's just a different way that women lead. And, you know, we need more leaders, whether it's in government, whether it's in, you know, in the world and leadership. And so we're now moving on to support Generation W, which is a great nonprofit national organization that supports women and girls through conferences, the production of a lot of content. And that's run by Donna Orender, who was the former commissioner of the WNBA, former basketball teammate of mine in the 1985 the Maccabi Games, the Jewish Olympics. So, but she's been connecting women all over the world and empowering them. And so we're going to choose support her charity until we select the social justice charity for February.
I love that. Cheers to you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I would say just one more thing about the wine, Jolene. We do farms sustainably. So all of our grapes and our wines are farmed and produced sustainably. So we don't use any kind of chemicals, no Roundup, glyphosate. So we believe that the dirt and the bugs and the weeds provide all the nature's, you know, natural nutrients to make the best of wines. And so, and that's so important today because so many people have issues with, you know, different kinds of food and chemicals. And, you know, just like, you know, you need to know what you're eating, you need to know what you're drinking as well.
Oh, thank you for doing that. I mean, that is, I love that. That is hard to find, number one. And when you go into the grocery store or wherever, you're looking at all the wines and there's many, many, many.
Yes.
How are you ever supposed to know that?
Yeah.
Well, it's nice to have a direct connection to someone I know and now everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the other reason I think that being digital is so valuable, because we actually can tell stories through videos, through posts, because we're not going to be in a grocery store. We are available online. We're removing that middleman because that's a broken system as well. I mean, people don't realize that, you know, there's a handful of wine companies that own 90% of the brands you see on the Safeways and on those shelves. And so this is about going direct to our consumers, understanding our consumer, you know, getting feedback from women on what they want, and then really creating that experience and, you know, and connecting women. We really feel like we're creating a movement, not, you know, so we have a club. It's not a club. It's called The Swarm, and it's, you know, which is a group of dragonflies. And I mean, if I have a minute, I'd love to tell you about the dragonfly on the labels. So
yes, sir, we have time, please do.
So, you know, I've had a fascination with dragonflies since I was, you know, really little. And then my daughter, Jordan, and I, we would watch Gilmore Girls ad nauseum, and that was our, you know, our guilty pleasure all the time. But as I got older and more spiritual, dragonflies just took on a whole new meaning for me. I mean, they have amazing powers. I mean, with four wings, they can fly and pivot and have this grace, you know, that no other flying animal can have, or insect or bug can have. So I realized that, when I was starting this, a friend of mine who I brought on as our sommelier, she said, you need to read Glennon Doyle's book, Untamed, because this sounds exactly like what you're going through with feeling tamed, that we've all had this, you know, we all have this cheetah within us that needs to come out. And I've had that, that cheetah's been out most of my life. So it just felt like it was tucked away for a while. So tenoral is actually a scientific definition of when a dragonfly comes out of its cast and its wings are colorless and it can't fly and it's very vulnerable. It literally for a few days is like that until its wings get its full colors and then it can spread its wings and take off and fly with this amazing power and grace. But because that was a little chunky, I said, well, we're a digital brand. We get to tell people what the meaning is. And if you go on the back of those bottles, there's a QR code on there. So if anybody just takes their camera and just puts it over there, you don't even need an app anymore for that. That'll show our story, our belief story of who Tenoral is. But I created the definition that Tenoral is claiming the power within to transform the world with grit and grace, always being, always becoming. And that always being, always becoming is that constant transformation that we go through as women. So, and part of it is just, I want to be a better version of me today than I was yesterday. And it's certainly a better version of me tomorrow than today. And the reason why there's a tenoral is in the hard block and then always being, always becoming is kind of softer. That's that juxtaposition of the grit and grace, right? We can be both as women, right? I can be tough and I can also be soft. It's not one or the other, right? I know we're not censored here, but you know, it's not like just because you're tough, you're a bitch. I mean, I actually think that just means being in total control of herself. So that's okay. And
never heard
just an acronym. So yeah. But I just feel like we, you know, the dragonfly is just us as women. Right. And it's, but I want women to feel like, you know, they join the swarm, they join a movement, but also by themselves, like I am the swarm. I can purchase a bottle with purpose. I can make a difference. I don't need permission to drink by myself, but we would love women to get together so that we can make a difference on these issues that are so important, that we can talk about them and that we can rise up together, because the rising tide, you know, floats all boats, lifts all boats. And so, I'm just really excited because it's I feel it's true to me. I'm helping, you know, we're completely woman owned and run, but I am buying grapes and things from the other companies. So that's a win-win for them as well, but we're getting them, you know, less than I'd have to go out in the market. But I'm every downstream of mine for this company is through other women owned businesses, printing, you know, the bottles, all of that. And when we need more grapes, we're going to be sourcing those from other women around the world. And we have a great female winemaker coming on board, and she has committed that our next hire will be a woman of color as an assistant winemaker, so that we can start that mentoring process.
That's so awesome. And I do remember a little video you had on your Facebook page, Tenoral Cellars. If you guys want to go to her Facebook page, you can just type it in. And the video that pops up there is a couple minutes long, and you're talking about girls who go to college to become winemakers, but then when they make it into the actual industry, there's such a small amount that actually do make it.
And yeah, the majority of students are female. There's a lot of stuff going on in our industry right now. There's a big article in the New York Times about a lot of sexual abuse and from the Court of Master Sommeliers. And it's funny that, you know, it's coming out now, but it's part of the reason I started this company. Anyone in the industry has known this has been like this for a long time.
I think it's just sickening. Actually.
It is. It is.
Away with it for so long. And yeah. I just applaud those women for coming forward and saying something, because it has to stop. And
it does. And I think we finally are in an environment where we can talk about it, because there are women a long time ago that took a lot of hits for a lot of people and you couldn't talk about it. But we now live in an environment where not only should we be talking about it, but I think with companies like Tenoral Cellars and hopefully some others, we're going to prove what great businesses we can be when we have not only it women running the company, but a diversity of voices and experiences. Because I know if I do right in my company, and we have, you know, we have significant equity in the business, we have a diversity of voices and experiences, then we're going to be the best practice, because certainly then we're going to be able to speak to all of our customers. We We will have experiences and voices that truly represent this country, you know, and all women buy wine. So, you know, why would, you know, for me, that's the fun. And maybe, Jolene, it's because of playing sports and all of that, but I've always been in diverse environments. And I know that, you know, we thrive with those and we perform better. And so I'm excited about just showing the world what a great, diverse, woman-owned and run wine business can be. And not just tackling the tough issues, but being a really profitable business. And I hope that other women see that, because I think that, you know, we're really fortunate. We just got, we're going to be listed in the Forbes Gift Giving Guide this year for, if you want to buy a gift for someone who cares about social justice, then Tenerol Cellars is the right, you know, gift for you. But I feel like we could be that company where if you want to buy a gift for your sisters or your family or other people that you know, or just supporting that, or hey, let's have an excuse to get together and talk about, you know, great things. And you know, I just feel like people can feel connected and come along on this journey with us, and that we could do some great things together.
When I got your box and I opened the three bottles of wine and pulled out the paperwork that came with it, first thing that came to my mind was, I want to get a bunch of women together and drink this wine together and talk about that kind of stuff. And not just bluff stuff, but the real stuff that's going on right now, and just educate each other on social justice issues. You know, I have a biracial son, and he's helped me learn so much. And it's opened my eyes to things that I didn't realize was going on in his life. And it's been a huge educational process for me this year. And I appreciate so much what you're doing, because more women like myself need to educate ourselves and become more supportive of what we don't know. I mean, it's not okay to say, I don't agree with something unless you've gone and educated yourself on it, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, like you, Jolene, I mean, my daughter-in-law who married Noah, who is biracial. So, you know, she's gone through a lot as well in this, with especially being worried for her brother, you know, and it is eye opening. And I, you know, as much as I've always thought that I'm going to say this, and this makes me pretty vulnerable. I used to say that I don't see color, because growing up as a Jew, we always believe in making the world a better place, better than we found it, and to always be open to everyone. And I've had diversity in my life. I realized that that was wrong. And I realized that because I have some really amazing friends. Phyllis Newhouse is one of them, another woman you should talk to, but she started to see the color. And I remember being with her socially once, and we were talking, and I was just asking her, how can I support you? Because I don't see color, and I want to support you. So some other woman in the room got pretty upset at that. Phyllis defended me because she knew where I was coming from, but this was a couple years ago. But I called Phyllis after you know, the resurgence of Black Lives Matter, after George Floyd, and I said, I owe you an apology, because if I don't see color, then I don't acknowledge that you've had a different experience than I have, and I need to see that. And the more that I listen, as opposed to, you know, inserting, the more that I'm growing as a person. And then and quite frankly, then it enables me to be a better ally and someone who can support this and be an anti-racist, as opposed to someone sitting here and saying, I'm not racist. Because we've all have our biases from what we've seen and the whitewashed, you know, history lessons we've had, all of that. I mean, this has been a really eye-opening and educational experience for me. And again, as I'm transforming always, I want to be better, and I want to be better for my daughter-in-law. I want to be better for the employees in my company, so that I can acknowledge that they may go through different things than I'm going through, because they've had different experiences. And I just feel like, being open as I am and wanting to learn, I'm going to be better in all facets of my life.
Absolutely. Thank you for what you're contributing to the world. And I do have a question that will just probably end this perfectly, but something you said a while back about women in the world, if we just all supported each other more, we'd be ruling the world by now. Why is it that you think women don't support each other? Where's the disconnect there?
You know, it's a great question. I'm not really sure where that's something I certainly need to ponder on. I wonder in many respects is, again, it's all the things that we've been, you know, fed through. I mean, look at the media, look at misrepresentation, right? If you go there and you look at everything from how women have been portrayed from, magazines to you name it, from even what Glennon Doyle says, by the time we're 8, that the world is telling us to act like this and think like that and look like that. I think we have to question everything. And I think just like the world is questioning a lot of things, women have to ask themselves, why do we do that, right? When and somehow we have to elevate this conversation for people, women, to understand that, do you realize that if we actually supported each other and put aside the petty stuff, guys don't do that. Guys support each other. I mean, I even find with Women Presidents Organization that women aren't even comfortable talking about money. And we're all very successful businesswomen. But, you know, when if somebody says, well, you know, I need to raise some money, I'm having, you know, lack of access to capital, women just kind of don't, you know, I think we have to reframe this whole conversation. And that's probably some of the conversations I want to have at Ten Roll Sellers, is we need to realize how to support each other better. And why, and maybe the conversation needs to be, why is that so important? As opposed to, instead of looking at why we haven't done it, because I think that just opens up too many issues, but maybe we need to reframe it and move forward and say, why is it so important? We're like 18th in the world in legislative representation in our government of women. We're supposed to be the leading country in, you know, in the world, and yet we really are far behind on many important issues, especially when it comes to women. So I wish I had a better answer for that, but I think the conversations need to be, every one of us needs to say, how can we support each other? And I choose the word support, Jolene, because help is a really interesting word. If you ask somebody, can I help you? First of all, women go, oh, no, I'm fine, I'm good, I don't need help. But help also seems like it's just a quick transaction. I'll help you with this and then I'm gone. Supporting you is, I am here to support you because I love you and I want to support you, not for just now, if you need support today, but I'm here to support you throughout your journey. And Phyllis Newhouse and Viola Davis started a group called Shoulder Up, a movement, and it's about women who, especially women of influence, who can use their voice to stand up, to speak up, and shoulder up with other women. And we need to do that because, again, we would change the world tomorrow. Just look at COVID with the countries that are led by women and where they are compared to where we are. I think we just have got to realize we have the power within us. We need to claim that power. We need to support each other, and we need to talk about what that would mean when we do that. And I think that to me is a much easier sell. And not that we're selling it, but I think that's a much easier way to have conversations and meaningful conversations that then translate to change.
Wow, thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. Well, raise a glass one last time to Jill Oster. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
You're so welcome.
We're on the road working. I love our virtual background screen.
Yes. You don't want to see my dog behind me, yes. So, we've got some great holiday gifts. And again, you know, we're giving $10 back from every 3-pack, so to make a difference. So I really just, more importantly than anything, I just hope people check us out because we'd love people to, you know, we'd love every woman listening to join our movement and join the conversation.
So going to your website, would you mind just telling them what your website is?
Yeah, it's tenerallsellers.com. So TENERALCELLARS.com. We also have Instagram page, Facebook page. Check us out. We've got some great conversations going on and content, and we'd love to hear content and suggestions from you as well.
Great. Thank you. And here's the little QR code that she was mentioning earlier on the back of the bottle where you can learn more about what Ten Roll means. And
that video is on the website as well. So that's on the homepage. Yeah.
Perfect. I did watch that and it's a beautiful video.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Of course, I can see your marketing background coming out and everything. You do. It's beautiful. Yeah. So, and your Facebook page always has such great relevant content almost daily. So You're working with all sorts of great people across the nation that have things to offer all of us. A lady who does cooking on her own show now. I saw that on your site.
Yeah, no, Tanya Holland, who's one of our advisors, just got her own new show on OWN, and she did all the pairings for the recipes. We're doing a See the Color event in February, and Victory, who's a young, amazing artist that just got picked up by Jay-Z, Jay-Z's Roc Nation, is going to be performing for that. Yeah, it's amazing. Women want to be a part of this, and I know we're going to have so many amazing experiences moving forward. And you know, when you join our Swarm, which is our club, you get 20% to 25% off, and you can join now. Now, even though the club releases in February, and get those same discounts now for your wines. But yeah, I think it's the whole purchase with purpose. I mean, people, you know, they want to feel good about what they're doing. And if you're going to drink wine, you might as well buy it and know that you can make it, you know, the company's going to make a contribution to some great charities and causes.
Not only that, but you're getting a really high quality wine.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. And you have a Grit and Grace blog.
This. Yes, we do. And then in there is also my Chill with Jill series. So I know a lot of amazing women who are not only just like what you're doing, Jolene, but not only creating great businesses, but making a difference in the world. So I get to have conversations in the vineyards most of the times, a couple of Zooms, but most of the time in the vineyard with a glass of wine and just chilling and talking about great stuff.
Okay, cool. And I think I saw your twin sister in the intro video. Was she in it?
She was in it. She was doing the funny dance at the end.
Yes. I was like, that's Jill's sister for sure.
Yeah, sisters are good for a lot of stuff, especially when they're close by. Get in here. You're going to be in this video. So, yes.
Love it. Well, thank you, Jill. It was such a pleasure to know, like, to know you. To have met you at WSU tailgating and to have it turn into a friendship like this, and for you to be here tonight. You know, nothing is a coincidence. So I do appreciate you being here and sharing your heart and what it is that you're doing. So blessings to you and all the success.
Thank you. Blessings to you as well. And thank you again for having me today.
You're welcome. Bye, everybody.